Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Dylan Altran is one third of Creative Collective Neighbourhood Sports Club. A childhood desire to carve a career out as a player saw him collect a few stamps on his passport via France, Finland and Norway. It was in the latter where the early seeds of NSC were sown, and a flight home to California to turn out for hometown club Oakland Roots would open the doors back to a childhood when football wasn't about finding the next contract, but a vehicle for creative expression and a gateway to connection and community. Listen to the way he talks about his under 10 team and tell me he wasn't destined to be doing what he's doing now. You got to leave home to come home, right? Enjoy.
How are we doing?
Good, mate. How are you doing?
Good. Would you? Is it better if I use headphones?
If you've checked, did you check the toggle switch to say you wasn't using any?
Yeah, I said I wasn't using them.
Mate, yeah, that's fine, mate. Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, mate. You look like you're in an asylum. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah, you're in a safe room.
So this is my apartment, and behind me is like the bedroom, but it's like, and this is like the kitchen living room, but it's like divided by like a glass screen that like dims as you go lower.
Oh, that's neat.
It's strange. Yeah, it's quite strange.
That is neat. Mate, how's the morning started? You are at the front end of your day, aren't you?
Yeah, it's 9 a.m. I was up pretty early, like 6:45. Actually, abnormally, like that's kind of normal, but I actually thought it was 7:45. So I was kind of rushing around, and then I realized it was 6:45. I was like, "Oh, I'm good."
You just got an hour cashback, my friend.
That was cashback for sure. For sure. Got a workout in. Good, you know, started the morning right.
Nice, nice. Did you listen to Max's episode yet?
I didn't. On purpose.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, you know, like I listened to maybe like the first 8 minutes as I was driving home the other day. And then as I was listening to it, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm gonna purposefully not listen to this until after we do this one.
Yeah, you got the best 8 minutes anyway.
Yeah, the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, then he just goes on and on and on for another 52. No, I'm joking. This is nice. Like the football equivalent of All-Star Mr. and Mrs. Part 2 now, but the Neighbourhood Sports right. Club version.
Yep, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like, thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. I know you were in London recently.
Yeah.
And it's a shame the stars didn't align. It would have been,
I know that Max was messaging you, but I think it, yeah, didn't work out, but all good. It was a great time though. London, excellent. It was like the first time I had really done London for like an excessive amount of time and got to see some matches and kind of experience the culture over there. And yeah, it was, we had a really good time. You're a West Ham fan too. Yeah.
Yeah, you got there, didn't you?
We got there. We went there for a good one too.
Yeah, you picked one of the few good ones. I'll say that sounds quite spoiled because they're doing well.
It was a good one. Yeah. Jared Bowen, I think, first career hat trick.
And your birthday, right?
My birthday was the day after, yeah.
Glad the boys turned up for you.
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah, well, thanks for sitting down with me, mate. I know this has been like a long time bubbling and it didn't quite work out with the mag, but this gives us an opportunity to go in much more broadly, I guess. And I got a lot of value chatting with Max about his route to Neighbourhood Sports Club. And yeah, I'm kind of excited to do the same with you. Like, that's where you are now. What took you there?
I guess, you know, football or soccer, whatever we want to say, has been a huge part of my life since I was like 4 years old. You know, my dad would take me into the backyard and have me juggling, and, you know, from like an early age, and just like developed like a huge passion for the game. And it was always, you know, I want to play pro. I want to, you know, I want this to be my life. And so, I mean, a lot of my childhood was dedicated to the sport, and that was great. And I think I got a lot out of the sport. And I think as I got older, I definitely could feel other interests. Like, we were always interested in kind of fashion and art, and, you know, even like being in cool spaces and like enjoying being around community. And I think, you know, as my soccer career progressed and maybe didn't progress, you know, in the way I wanted to, I started to look at the game in different ways. And it was really when my partner Jordan, who's also one of the co-founders of Neighborhood Sports Club, when we were in Norway playing, we just noticed like, oh man, there's so many of these like neighborhood pitches, right? These little, like here in the US we have them, but it's usually like a basketball court, or, you know, that kind of the neighborhood comes around and plays. And in Norway, there were quite a lot of these like mini five-a-side pitches. And I mean, you had them in London, we just saw, and we just really loved like, man, I wish we had this type of infrastructure, this type of environment, this like community, you know, five-a-side pitch that we could rally around. And when, after Norway, came back to Oakland to play for this team, the Oakland Roots, and I noticed, you know, kind of quickly, like, wow, there's this soccer community here that's bubbling, and they were selling out every game, a small stadium, but selling out every game. And, you know, growing up here, you kind of realize, you know, me and my friends, we love the game. We want to be around it all the time, but we kind of thought it was very niche and, you know, not super popular at the time when we were growing up. But the Roots were kind of proof of concept for us that, like, no, there is this strong community here. And that's kind of where the idea sprouted. And it's also just happened to be like towards the end of my career. And so we're thinking, well, whoa, there's this incredible community here, but the infrastructure is not there. I mean, there's pitches in Oakland that haven't been re-turfed or resurfaced since, you know, Max and I were playing on them when we were 10 years old. You know, there's like tree roots growing out of them, and it's just the infrastructure is not there, but the community is. And so that's kind of what got Neighborhood Sports Club off the ground, is like, we need to create a space, and a space for this community that we care a lot about. And we also quickly realized that we could do, you know, the kind of the three pillars, which were like doing like a cafe bar, a retail space, and then obviously the athletics, which is the five-a-side pitches. And we started to grow the community. And then we had like one real estate opportunity that presented itself. And the three of us kind of sat down, we're like, it's now or never, we got to go for it. And, you know, we kind of haven't turned back since then.
Nice one. So like, you, like, going back, you mentioned that other interests started to form, and fashion was one of those. Yeah. That's easy to pick up with, like, what I see of you on socials now, that's definitely an interest. But what was piquing that interest in you when you were younger?
Man, my U10, under 10 team was like one of the most like eclectic, like multicultural, people from all over, a group. And we were like 10 years old, but like everyone was pulling up to training with like, you know, like whatever the newest trend was, or like there was like little fashion staples from like different, you know, maybe even different parts of the city. And we were like kind of all come together. And like, I don't know if it was just a unique experience, but our under 10 team had so much character that like, I just think naturally we like fed off of each other, and we grew, like a lot of people were like, a lot of us kids, we were interested in like you know, what kicks you were wearing or like what you were pulling up to training with, or like the newest jersey or the, you know, the Predator, you know, what Predators are you wearing today? You know, all this stuff that, you know, when I look back, I think it's quite funny because we must have been like, you know, I don't know in meters, but we were like 3 feet tall, but like we were just like all talking about these things that felt like they were like much more mature, you know. I don't think the other U10 teams we were playing were, you know, in the same spirit, and also super passionate about the game. Like, we had a lot of really good players on that team, and I really am thankful that I was on, you know, this team from like U10 to like U15 around like a really good group. Like, still, you know, most of my best friends were on that team. And we kind of all just fed off of each other, and whether it was fashion or art or music, we were into that stuff.
When I asked that, you lit up thinking back to that.
Yeah.
Are you 10 team? Like, the eyes got a little bit of a twinkle in them. Clearly had a massive effect.
Yeah.
On what you're even into now, like 20 years later. Do you think that's like geography is a factor in that, in like Oakland being that kind of city, or is it just very much like a golden generation vibe? You just happen to get lumped in with the kids that just had their eyes tuned into certain things.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint, but I definitely think Oakland is a big part of that. I mean, like I said, so super multicultural. We had guys from all over, like literally all over, families that, like, you know, you always say, oh, your team is like your family, but like this team, like from the parents to the kids, like everyone would get together for barbecues or to watch the World Cup final or, you know, whatever it was. And I think Oakland is a big piece to that, just because of, you know, how diverse it is and, you know, how open-minded. And I always say you can't beat the people, right? In Oakland, you just can't beat the people. And I think that was definitely showcased from an early age for us.
You mentioned Norway. So your career took you away from Oakland and into Europe.
Yeah, so I played a little bit in France after college, a little bit in Finland, and a little bit in Norway, like one season each. But Norway was actually because my partner Jordan, she played for one of the top division clubs called Stabæk. And I kind of like talked to my agent, and I'm like, I was thinking like, I'm on the bubble of maybe retiring, but I was like, but if we can find something in Norway where I could go and we could kind of make an experience of it, like, let's do it. And so we actually worked with the same agent, and she found a club, signed, and then I went on a couple trials and signed with like a lower league team, like a third division team, and played. It was more semi-professional, to be honest, but it was still like a high level, and we got to live in Oslo, and it was like a great year.
Even with the cripplingly expensive pints of beer.
Very expensive. The city is crazy. But actually, from in terms of like the housing, was cheaper like than here in the Bay. I mean, we have crazy high rent prices. But yeah, it's crazy. You could get like two burritos and a bag of chips and be like $50. Be like, all right, we're cooking in, we're staying in again tonight.
Yeah. Trying to work out how many clubs you can play for at once to get that salary boost.
Right? Exactly. Get some bonuses up. You scored a lot of goals.
So like, you got this, like as a kid, this dream of going pro, like you love playing, you want to go pro. Yeah. And I guess that's like most kids have that, but then you've got these other interests that are coming up around the guys you're playing with when you're in those formative years. I'm just curious if your ability paired with that initial dream of becoming a pro was like dragging you away from like a true calling in more of like a cultural creative space, which is in line with where you've ended up once you've finished playing. Is there anything in that?
Maybe. I mean, I was just laser focused and I still like, I love the game. Like I watch so many, like anytime I can watch a game, I'll watch games, you know, I'm still playing as much as I can, like now just for fun, but I still love playing. And I mean, I definitely think there's something to that, that I was so driven and focused in the athletics, in training and in the sport that, yeah, maybe I wasn't able to kind of like fully, you know, figure out who I was outside of the sport. And I think that's kind of been the blessing of Neighborhood Sports Club, is like, now I'm able to express and learn and kind of grow in those areas that I've always felt, you know, a calling to. And it in a way it feels similar to like my soccer journey, which is like, I was training really hard. I was doing everything to put myself in positions, you know, to be successful. And same now with NSC, I think we're doing, you know, anytime we have like a project come across, you know, our desk that's interesting, that's passionate, you know, that we're passionate about, we really like dive, you know, head first and, you know, either try and learn about it or, you know, I mean, we say yes a lot, I think, to a lot of these projects just because we're so interested and we have like so much, you know, energy, and, you know, in moving forward with whatever that project may be.
Like, what enjoyment are you pulling from NSC now on a day to day?
I think the joy is, one, it's like just having a new like North Star, in a sense of like, we know what we want to create and every day we're working to, you know, on building the foundation or moving towards that goal. And I think that's been really important because, you know, when you kind of have like an identity shift or, you know, you stop playing, you're kind of looking for something. And I definitely had like a year or so when I stopped playing, when I felt a bit lost and, you know, I kind of went into coaching, but I knew quickly that like, that wasn't, you know, going to be fulfilling enough. And so I think NSC, it's that, it's like having a new North Star and then, you know, being able to do the creative endeavors that we'd always dreamed of, whether it's like building collections or, you know, we have media productions or whatever it is that are really fun. And I think also it's just like the learning. We're new at a lot of this stuff. And so a lot of it is still really exciting. And so I think that's what you wake up and you look forward to, like, you know, what's going to come across our desk or what, you know, what project are we pushing forward today? Or, you know, I think that's pretty exciting.
What was it about coaching that didn't feel fulfilling? I know it's not for everyone, but I guess it's the most obvious route once you stop playing to just try and keep as hands-on in the game as possible.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I think like there's certain aspects to it that are really fun. Like, you know, kind of like sharing kind of what your experience is and passing them on to like the next generation, I think is really exciting. But I think there is like that, you know, creative fire that I definitely am still like, I felt like there was more. And in a sense, NSC, because, you know, the goal is to have like a facility where we also do, you know, have leagues and, you know, can have youth clubs come out and train. Like there's still that little side, that there's that side of it that's still, you know, around the game and around like kind of passing on and creating an environment for the next generation to thrive. And I think that fulfills it, or at least the passion in me for like passing on what I've learned. And I think, you know, now that I think about it, in the US especially, it's really important that you know, the generations before are like pushing the game forward because the game has a lot of room to grow here in the US. And so I think, you know, it's not that it's a responsibility, but I think the players that have done it or have, you know, built somewhat of a career, it's important to show, you know, I still coach a little bit part-time for a club in East Oakland. It's like a club that provides, you know, free football and academics. It's like an academy for like this underserved community here in East Oakland. And it's really fun to be able to like open up their world to say like, hey, like this is the paths that we can push you towards in terms of like, you want to play in college, you want to play professionally, we can introduce you to the highest level of youth academies. And I think that's really fun. I don't know if I beat around the bush a little bit too much, but
no, that's perfect. It's something that just came up there from what you mentioned. And I'm curious if you think that growing the game, you got people that are coaching the youth that are growing the game in that way. And you mentioned that there's a lot of space for the game to grow into in the States. And that's the most obvious way, I guess, is like having more and more young people play it so that they feed up. But do you think it's equally as important to nurture and shape the culture around it, which is where NSC comes in?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think we're able to create spaces with NSC, and we've already done it like through hosting street soccer tournaments or through, you know, different pop-ups and creating like spaces that, and we've seen it where kids will walk in, or even adults, right? Because we've done it for both, but people will walk into the space, they'll see this street soccer court mixed with, you know, a bunch of jerseys on the wall or retail, and then there's like a food option, and like they come in and like, what is this? Like their eyes light up, you know. And it's like, I remember, you know, we did a street soccer.
This tournament. Is heaven. Welcome to heaven.
Exactly, and that's how they look. You see their eyes. Like, I thought we just had to play 11s and, you know, watch the offsides trap, you know, like I didn't know we could just come in and meg people. And, you know, like, you know, you want to have like that joy of the game. And I think that's kind of, you know, we've all found it again, I think through NSC, and you show like, there's not just one way of playing. There's not just one way of doing things. You can develop even the youth through like just do 3v3, do 1v1s, right? Do like little things that, you know, are really exciting. And I think especially now where like this generation seems to be like very enticed with screens and, you know, all this, is like get them excited again to play. And, you know, we say internally at NSC, it's like the US has created a lot of like sixes, holding mids, center backs, a lot of goalkeepers, but we haven't created that many like number 10s, you know, like number 10s, wingers. And it's like, can we help foster environments that like push the creative side, not just outside the game, but inside the game of, you know, can we get those, can we create the American Ronaldinho, you know, like someone who's like really able to like bring spark to the game. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think that's really important for, especially for the game here in the US.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. Those kinds of players don't come out of, they're not born out of traditional coaching methods, are they? Right. So they come out of street ball.
Right.
And the kind of environments where, like you just said, yeah, they're encouraged to express themselves in different environments, and merging all those worlds together, like football with whatever it is, it does foster that bit of freedom that comes with it. You mentioned that you'd rediscovered that kind of side of the game. So does that suggest that through your playing career, you lost some of that enjoyment?
Yeah, I think it just naturally gets tainted, you know, especially like I was playing mostly lower league stuff. And so it's like a lot of 1 year contracts, and off seasons are very anxious because you don't know what's happening next. And I would kind of be in this cycle where I would have this season where, you know, I knew I was up, you know, out of contract at the end of the year. And I would say, you know, that's probably it for me. I'm probably done. I don't know if I still have the fire. And then I would get into the off season, and all the, you know, friends from all over, we would kind of like link in the Bay, who are like, you know, playing in the MLS or playing in the USL and playing overseas. And that you come back and we would just play small sided, like all off season. Like we would just play 5v5, 4v4. And then you would like start to feel that like, oh wow, this is fun. This is really fun. Never mind. I want to keep going. and you'd find a way to keep going. You find a contract or whatever. And that was like a cycle that happened like two or three times. And then finally, you know, I couldn't move forward. And then finding the game again through, you know, like just more exciting ways to play. Like we even play like beach soccer sometimes with our friends. Like our friends have like a beach soccer club out in San Francisco. Sometimes we'll play beach soccer or foot volley or just different ways of playing the game that's not traditional. And I think that has really helped, other than just the creative side, the artistic side, the actual like physically like playing in different ways than we were used to, the traditional ways, has been really important.
Do you not think that this is just out of curiosity more than anything, but those off seasons where you like you meet up with the guys and you're playing like the small sided stuff and you're like, okay, you know what, scrap it, I am going to go back for one more year. Is there not a difference between what's exciting you and what you're walking back into?
Totally. But you don't see it. Right? You just don't see it. It's like, oh man, this is so much fun. Maybe this next year will be like this. And you know, I'm not saying like the years are a grind. Like sometimes it's incredible. Like you're playing a lot and you know, it can be really fun. It's not, I'm not, you know, saying it's all, you know, negative, but I think what weighed on me was just the not knowing what was next. And I think that gets really tiring, you know.
I'm really like sticking to this thread of being unaligned, and I'm determined to find something. Yeah. There might not be anything there, but like it's really interesting what you just said for me. Because the grind of, the not knowing what was coming next would become a bit of a weight. But then with NSC, like you don't know what any day or week is going to look like. And it doesn't feel like I'm assuming it doesn't feel like a weight. There's excitement there and there's you're having a lot of fun with it. And does that speak to the fact that where you should be, like you're kind of on your way home, so to speak. And just again, like this dream of being a footballer, I totally get it, but just wasn't where the heart was at. As much as you were, you know, flogging that horse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot there. I think, yes, part of what's been special about like, you know, starting NSC is, it kind of gives you that new life and that, that reason to be excited again. And I think that, you know, if you told my 10-year-old self that we would be doing this, you know, at 30, I'm 30 now, jeez. He told me we would be doing this and not playing. Would he be disappointed or would he be proud? And I think I would have to explain to him a little bit like, yeah, I'm not playing, but like I'm playing still and having fun with it. And then also like able to spark this, you know, other side. And I think yeah, what you said is, I think I do feel like I'm on the right path and I'm kind of where I need to be right now. And maybe everything that's happened in the past has been for a reason. And that's put me, you know, in where I am today.
Yeah, I guess you got to kind of leave home to come home, so to speak. I guess you would tell him now that football is more than what he thinks it is as well, right? There's more than...
Yeah.
It's a bigger game. It's got more impact than you probably appreciate as a kid. I know that that's definitely the case for me. Definitely. Someone asked me a question last week. I went on this little workshop in the town that I live in, and he asked us the question, what could we learn from our younger self? And that was a bit of a spin on the usual, like, what would you tell your younger self, which is what we've just touched on there. And set me off on a bit of a tangent, I guess. But just asking that same question to you and looking back at the 10-year-old Dylan, who's in the RU10s and he's got all his mates there and the experiment with all these like different fashions and all this kind of stuff. Is there anything that you can learn from that kid now as a 30-year-old?
I just think in when we're young, we just have less worries, right? There's just less like, should I be doing this? Is you know, am I in the right place? Am I living in the right city? Is this, you know, like all of these things that weigh on you. And, you know, I've said this definitely before, is like, I'll look back on periods of my life and maybe not my 10-year-old self, but, you know, me in high school, in college, or, you know, playing abroad and remembering those times, like, wow, what cool experiences. I was playing soccer, I was living in a different country, I was just hanging out and, you know, spending time with friends and having a really good, like, when you just put the lifestyle in a nutshell, like, wow, like those were great times. But then you kind of forget, like, but when I think about it, I was also stressed and there was anxiety and there was things that were maybe tainting that moment for me, or those moments for me when I was there. But if I look back and I really peel it back, it's like, you know, it was quite a great time. And I think that we often get caught in like the little details or the little stressors, like, instead of just like being a little bit more present and enjoying the moments and understanding, like you said, like we just mentioned, that things kind of fall into place, you know, as you move forward, if you let go a little bit. And I think that's something that I've learned definitely from looking back and thinking, like, you know, enjoy those moments, because, you know, if you're stressed about this and that, it's going to take away from what is and can be a really, you know, a nice period of your life.
It comes more naturally just letting go of stuff when you're younger, doesn't it? I don't know what it is or when it happens where we just start to let those little voices just get a little bit louder.
Yeah.
As we creep into adulthood.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you listen to them a little bit too long and before you know it, that's just on autoplay.
Right.
And the kind of natural reaction to things, and like the weightlessness that we move about with a bit more as in our youths, it just kind of disappears a little bit. So it's great to kind of come around full circle and start to spend the time doing those things in your day to day again.
Right.
But like, how are you responding to the difference in structure? So as a player, it's kind of repetitive, told what to do loads.
Yeah.
And now no one's telling you what to do. Do what you want.
Yeah.
And every day is a bit different.
I would say it was very hard to start, because you come, like you said, from structure to just like nothing. Like, you got to set your own boundaries. You got to, you know, even like I mean, the first year we were doing NSC is like, we had no boundaries. Like it could be midnight, you know, and we were like texting, you know, like just no boundaries. And then, you know, I think we definitely hit a point, like the three of us, where we were like, okay, we're a little burned out, and we just have to like, let's create a little more structure. And so, you know, we slowly would implement different strategies. Like we would, you know, set times for meetings and for group discussions, even set times for like, cause we're all, you know, like best friend. I mean, it's my partner and my best friend is basically, that's the three of us. And we would even set time for like, hey, let's go to dinner, you know, like let's do something non NSC. And I think the structure takes a little while, but it's like building routine. You know, I tend to have like get more anxious in the morning. So I have to have like certain things. I wake up, I meditate or work out or go for a walk and then check emails. And, you know, it's just like you start to build these routines and these structures that I think are really important. And just like good life habits that, yeah, you just kind of get thrown into and you just kind of naturally gravitate to, because you're like, I can't live like with things going left, you know, having no structure. It's just like, it's impossible for me. So I need like some boundaries and some structure in the days.
So like you've got those non-negotiables at the start of your day that tee you up. Like you say, like the meditation and like the morning walk, that kind of thing. Similar to that, I can relate to that. I've got six things that I have to tick off every day. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for maybe 18 months now. And I definitely noticed an upturn in my self-confidence with it, because you're telling yourself, yeah, I turn up every day for myself and do these things.
What are the eight things?
There are six things.
Oh, six things.
Six things, yeah. And it's like one of them is just literally just like read something every day. Like read, I'll have a book going on all the time. Not like an online article or anything, like make sure I sit and read a book off screen. Learn Spanish. So every day I'm doing some Spanish.
You could come to California then. And we'll be
yeah. Good. Yeah, well, maybe that will tell me how much I've been learning pretty quickly. Yeah. The further into the day I let those things creep without ticking them off the list, the day starts going a little bit wavy. And I'm like, oh, shit, I still haven't read. And then before you know it, I'm just literally scanning a page just to check a thing off my list.
Right.
And I'm getting anxiety about checking a list off when I could just give myself permission to be like, you know what, maybe I just don't sit down for 20 minutes a day and read. Or maybe I lose the Duolingo streak on Spanish, you know, ultimately it doesn't matter, you know, but it's interesting how trying to get that structure in my days has paradoxically given me like a basis of self-confidence, because it's, you know, again, reaffirms that I turn up, but it's also added a strain of anxiety in there if I don't get it done.
The same thing with meditation happened with me is like, I was meditating for like 2 years straight. For like 1 year, I was meditating 15 minutes in the morning and like 15 minutes midday. So like 30 minutes. And I did it a year, at least a year, just no, like didn't miss a day. And then I started to realize like how much anxiety I would get from not, like once I hadn't, if I hadn't completed it yet, or like the stressor of getting it done, that I had to peel it back a little bit. You know, I had to peel it back, and now I'm a little bit more gentle with myself about like, okay, in the morning I got to either work out, meditate, or go for a walk. Like that's just like, I got to do one of those things for me before I can get on with the day. And that's been good. I think that's been good.
How did you get to the point of giving yourself permission to let go of that strictness?
I just like got over, there was just like a threshold of like, no, I'm too anxious right now about meditating. Like there's just no way this is
I must be doing it wrong.
Yeah, this is yeah, exactly. I gotta change up something here. So And not to knock meditation, because I do think it's helpful. And, you know, we'll even do like group meditations with NSC. And, you know, I think we're
quite pretty cool.
We're quite a spiritual bunch, I think, which is fun.
Have you done a gong bath?
No.
Oh, man. You got to get on a gong bath.
What is that?
Basically, you'll be able to find somewhere in Oakland that is offering this.
Yeah.
Or they might be labeled as a sound journey, and there might be some crystal bowls mixed in with that. But basically, it's a guided meditation for hour, 90 minutes. It varies, but it takes you into, I think it's beta state, takes your mind into beta okay. state. And that 1 hour or that 90 minutes will feel like 10 minutes. You'll see some gnarly stuff. And it's all brought on by the vibrations from the gongs and the bowls. Especially if you lay with your head facing the direction of the sound. And it's like a means of relaxation and like an energy cleanse. I guess.
Into that.
You've set me off now. Me off. So I basically ended up in this town. What are we now? 2020, beginning of 2020. So like 3 years ago, and I didn't know anyone. Like, I won't bore you with like how or why, but I just, I ended up bumping to an old colleague that I'd worked with about 7 or 8 years before that. And she asked what I was doing out here, and I gave her the rundown. And, well, the gist of it is marriage breakdown and like mental breakdown. That's the, oh, you got a West Ham mug. Nice.
No.
It's close enough.
easy now.
Yeah. So she said, she sent me to this like a yoga factory, and it was exactly what I needed at that time. And they were just holding all sorts of workshops like breath work, sound journeys, gong baths. I've never felt so good, because it was just basically a solid 6 month period of yoga, sound, yeah, meditation, all that kind of stuff. Really helpful at the time. I dip in and out of it now. A friend of mine facilitates sound journeys. And there's not a time that I'll do that where I won't. I don't know how many minutes in, because like I say, it just feels like 10 minutes in total that you're in there. But there's not a time that I won't start to see some really gnarly stuff. And sometimes it's quite positive, like lights, shapes, textures, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it can feel a bit like malevolent. Depends what sounds coming out of the gongs. It can feel like it's crawling. I'm going off on one a bit now, and that's probably because of the second coffee that I had not long before this one. But I guarantee you there'll be somewhere in Oakland that can offer that. Get yourselves down to that and let me know how you get on.
I'm into it. Yeah, we'll let you know.
Yeah, I had no idea that you were offering group meditations with NSC.
It's something we offer. Yeah. Yeah, you can just ping our line and we'll get on the phone and we can do a group meditation together.
Nice one. 15 minutes twice a day.
Yeah.
So how important is it to share those tools that have been a help to you through the platform? And I guess you've kept it broad with it being the sports club.
Yeah, exactly. And that was on purpose for sure. But I think, you know, we almost wanted to feel like, you know, it's like a lifestyle, you know, it's like, you're welcome to, everyone's welcome. And, you know, we've had even seen it, I think, just through players that we've brought out to pick up that have really, you know, because it's such a, like, it's not just an athletic thing and people feel healthy when they're exercising, but it's also like social thing, I think, has been huge. Like the social impact of having a community that comes together and, you know, consistently sees each other, you know, at least once a week, but oftentimes it's more than that. has been really beneficial for me, and I think for a lot of people that kind of need that. And I think that the pandemic and kind of the way society is shifting to being very much isolating, it's nice to feel like you have community and you have people around that, you know, you can kind of share these life experiences with. And I think that that's something that we hope to foster and have fostered with NSC, that maybe wasn't, obviously it was intentional, but maybe we didn't see the value that and the impact that it could have. And I think now we really see it. And now it's kind of like our number one, you know, priority is like making sure this, you know, the community is taken care of, is there's places, there's spaces for everyone to get together. There's, you know, it's more than just showing up and playing soccer or showing up for a art show or whatever. It's more just like everyone's coming together, and that's been, you know, really important.
Do you draw like a sense of self-worth from providing that for a community?
I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I definitely feel fulfilled, right? It's definitely fulfilling. And oftentimes, you know, we'll be kind of grinding, you know, doing some back end stuff or building out things that aren't public yet. And then, you know, and it can be heavy and it can take, you know, it can weigh and be tiring. And then we have an event or we have, you know, like a watch party, art show, street soccer thing, you know, whatever. And we spend that time, you know, with the community, with, you know, kind of our NSC community. And it's like, whoa, this is why it's worth it. You know, this is what, you know, at the end of the day, we might wake up on a Monday morning, look at the schedule, say, oh, shoot, we got meetings all day. But then you think about, well, on Friday, we're going to have this event and it's going to be all worth it.
What do you think that you've taken out of it personally that's maybe caught you by surprise?
I mean, I definitely think it's that. But I also think, you know, as we touched on a little bit before, it's just kind of, NSC is kind of shaped based off of, you know, what we are gravitated towards. So it's like we've created something that kind of fulfills a lot of our interests, and we're able to just dive in with, obviously there's limitations, but, you know, we can kind of be the driving force of which direction we want to go. And I think that's been really fun is, you know, when we started to make apparel, and, you know, then it started to go well. And then we would, you know, diving deeper into that and exploring like the new options and, you know, what's possible. And then we did the same kind of with the media side and then obviously with the athletics. And so it's just like, it's all these avenues that we love and we're passionate about. And it's kind of like we're putting them all under one roof, and that's kind of what's been, you know, fulfilling. Other than, like I said, I would still just go back to community and just making, you know, having this great group of people kind of that has come together through this, you know, through these last few years, that has been really special. And I think that's, at the end of the day, that's probably the most important thing.
Do you get, I mean, there must be like a sense of pride in that, I guess, as well, when you take a step back and you watch all that happening and what it produces outside of you, right? You see connections being made at an event you're facilitating, for example, but then those connections that are made under the umbrella of NSC, these people take them out into the community and it's paid forward.
Yeah, totally. Right?
Like, you can't really measure your impact, the positive impact you're having, which is quite a fascinating thought, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been cases where, you know, we're yet to have like someone get married off of like the pickup group or something like that. But like, there's definitely strong relationships and like businesses forming or creative endeavors forming that we've seen kind of like under, you know, throughout the last few years of people in the, you know, within the community meeting, you know, in our spaces. And I think that's incredible. And I think, I also think we just are sometimes, like me personally, at least, I tend to leave projects or events or whatever kind of like blown away by like, you know, how people have turned up for it or how people react to it. And I think that's always fun to kind of like exceed expectations. Because I think from a lot of what we do is a lot of it is new, frankly, to us is like, we're just learning how to put together, you know, media pieces or, you know, apparel or the retail side or events. Like we're learning this kind of like on the fly. And I think that's, it's been like the best education, but also incredibly fulfilling. And I think naturally has pushed us in directions based off of what we like to do and what like kind of gives us fulfillment, but also like how the community responds to it.
Yeah, I think you just touched on something really key there. It's like the action, like the fact that you're just constantly in action, that's going to fuel you to keep going. And, you know, not everything is going to hit, right? But you've got momentum and you're in that headspace where you're just trying, you're trying stuff, you're learning stuff. And again, that's another confidence booster, the fact that you are just in doing mode rather than sitting there thinking about it. It's like the hardest thing sometimes is to just take the first step. And it seems like you're taking those every day, which is pretty cool. It's one of the most impressive things, most enjoyable things rather that I've seen in ages. Like everything that goes up, I'm like, I wish I lived in Oakland. Would that work in Leon C? Which I don't think it would, but you never know. Maybe I'll use you guys as a media pack to try and present it to some locals here.
Yeah,
mate,
definitely.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Well, and also you were very quick to say that it's not a West Ham mug. There's nothing wrong with drinking out of a West Ham mug.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying it's honestly NSC colors. It's like brown and light blue.
Oh, okay, it's a light. It's making like that look a little bit claret there.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Why brown and light blue? Out of interest,
it just kind of came. Like we just like, you know, it's just like it sparked kind of from like we did a collection called like Cafe Olé, and we did like a little media thing around it, and we just like really all just like we're like, oh, these are cool colors. We were just really into the combination. The light blue is kind of, you know, I'm at heart a Marseille fan, Olympique de Marseille. That's where my dad's from and my family's from. And so the light blue, I think I was always pushing the light blue. And then the other pieces kind of, you know, I think the brown is just a really nice complement to it.
Yeah. My friend Maxim, also from Marseille, will be delighted. He was over the moon when I posted the picture of Max in the Marseille shirt.
Right, he's wearing the jersey.
I'll have to grab one on you and it'll just send him into a spin over here. He's great to see the boys being represented.
Exactly. We'll be there in September. So we'll hopefully, I mean, we got it. We'll definitely get out to a game. But
yeah, nice. Mate, listen, this has been a really enjoyable hour. I appreciate the time that you spent chatting with me there. And I mean, loads to be excited about, loads for me to draw inspiration from as well as it goes, because I think I'm guilty often of just a little bit of fear in getting something started.
Start before you're ready. That's what an advisor wants to start before you're ready. And that's definitely what we did. We were not ready. You know, we started.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that well and truly on board, mate. And take the leap. Yeah, I'll take the leap.
Go for it. And you know, come out to California and practice your Spanish. I know you, you know.
Yeah, I'm itching. You know what? It's been a long time. I don't think I've been in California since 2015.
This summer would be a good time. We got the Copa America here, so.
Mate, it sounds good. Yeah, I'll take that as an invite.
Yes, definitely.
I'll bring my Astros as well.
Okay. All right.
Have a great day, mate. Take it easy.
All right, Joe. Thanks. Talk soon.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button, and I'll see you next time.